before, huh? Is that on, Mark? Yep, dead on. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we turn to your word this morning on this day of great celebration, we thank you that above all we celebrate Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And as has been mentioned, he is our great high priest who has passed through the heavens, is seated at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Jesus, please, by your Spirit, open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word. Open our ears to hear your voice this morning, please. For we ask it in your glorious and precious name. Amen. Last week we looked at Jesus, our great high priest, who sits at the Father's right hand, as I said there in my prayer, ever living to make intercession for us. And there's a number of misconceptions about what this actually means. Jesus hasn't entered the Holy of Holies to light a wee candle for us. He doesn't have to push past his mother Mary and any of the saints to light a wee candle and to say a wee prayer for us. And neither is he impinging upon or pestering his dad. Oh, come on, Dad. Oh, come on, Dad. Please do this. Do this for Julie. Come on, Dad. Do this for Kathleen. He's not doing that. Jesus isn't impinging upon or pestering his father to get him to do what he wants for his saints on the earth. What is meant by Jesus ever living to make intercession for us is that by his very life, by the fact that he is seated at the Father's right hand, by his continual presence now as a living sacrifice, by his eternal existence, because he is a priest forever, by his eternal existence and glorification, Jesus intercedes for us. People have this wee idea of Jesus sitting all meek and mild, you know, or maybe getting down on his knees and praying wee prayers. I don't buy into that. Now, of course, Jesus endorses the prayers of his people, or what would be the sense of us praying? He endorses the prayers of his people who want what he wants. And the question is, when you're going into a time of prayer, whether it is in your own secret place, whether it is corporately here in the church or in the early prayer meetings, the question is, do you want what Jesus wants? Because if you want what Jesus wants, he will endorse your prayers. He also shuts the mouth of the accuser, stopping Satan's accusations against the saints of God, because Satan is always accusing. You don't need to get an insight into heaven to hear Satan accusing you. You hear it in your own head. You know what Satan does. He will come to you with a temptation and he'll say in this ear, go on, go on, go on. You know you want to. You know you want to. You know it makes sense. You know it makes sense. And as soon as you do it, he's in this ear saying, call yourself a Christian. And he starts to condemn you, and he starts to make you feel really bad. But he's always accusing, even though the Bible says the accuser of the brethren is cast down, as far as Jesus is concerned, because Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, every time Satan makes, and believe me, it is a truthful accusation. When he is accusing you before God, he's telling the truth. But when he makes that accusation, Jesus shuts his mouth by the very fact that Jesus is alive. Jesus isn't interested, and neither is the Father, in listening to the accusations of Satan, because your debt has been paid in full. That's incredible what the Lord is doing. As a priest forever, ever living to make intercession for us, Jesus does all of this within the will of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it was all planned before the foundation of the world. Those who belong to Jesus, whom the Father has given to him, can be forever, hear this, can be forever assured, 100% assured that his once for all atoning sacrifice is enough to secure your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny is not subject to your abilities. It is not subject to your faithfulness to God. It is depending on the faithfulness of God to us. And God's faithfulness to us is seen in the living Jesus who is seated at his right hand. A born-again Christian salvation may be in jeopardy if Jesus was to ever die again. And that ain't going to happen. So, I previously mentioned that while finishing, in fact, last week I was saying, like, while finishing last Sunday's message, something came to mind which I believe was far too important not to share with you in relation to intercession. And I'm going to have to go flying through these readings. So I'm going to do the first reading. It's in Exodus chapter 28, and I'm reading from verse 29. And it's there, trust me. It says this. So Aaron shall bear, this is God speaking, so Aaron, that's Moses' brother, so Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put it in, and you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Now turn, please, if you've got it, in Exodus or Leviticus chapter 16, and I'm going to have to fly through this because it's 17 verses, but I need to read them and emphasize some points. Okay, so from verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. Two sons of Aaron didn't do what God says. God is absolutely clear. When he talks about serving him and whatever else, you have to do exactly what God says. Nadab and Abihu, two of sons, Aaron's sons, didn't do it, and they offered strange fire unto the Lord, and the fire basically came out of the censers and killed them. So, now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. You couldn't just dander in as you pleased into the Holy of Holies. Tell him not to do that, lest he die. I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Verse 3. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering which is for himself and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one for the lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement for it, and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the blood of the bull offering which is for himself and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself. Listen to this. That he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. So all of these things that he had to do had to be done exactly as God says. We may not understand it all, but he had to do all of these things exactly. And if he did everything exactly, he would make atonement for himself. That means atonement at one-ment. He would make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And my last reading is a very brief one as well, just in Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm reading from verse 24 to 28, and it says this: For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. You can read in Exodus, this all may sound confusing, but it's going to come together here. You can read in Exodus about the holy garments of the high priest and how he was to dress the apparel that he had, how he was to dress in accordance with God's command. And there were two articles of clothing that were significant to intercession, and they were the ephod and the breastplate. The high priest, for example, he first and foremost had to put on linen boxer shorts. Then he covered that with a white linen robe, over which went a blue robe, and then what is like an ephod, almost like a waistcoat, upon which was tied this thing called the breastplate. The ephod and the breastplate are all very significant, but the ephod and the breastplate are very significant as far as intercession is concerned. On the shoulders of this ephod were two sardonyx or onyx stones with the names on the shoulders, with the names of the tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel were inscribed on each of these stones on the shoulders of the ephod. On the breastplate, this square thing, on the breastplate were 12 precious stones set in four rows of three, each stone having one of the tribes of Israel engraved on it. So you understand, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, on his shoulders, on the two stones, was inscribed all the names of the tribes of Israel. On the breastplate, in the four rows of three precious stones, were the names of the tribes of Israel also. And it says this: so Aaron or all of the other subsequent high priests shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes in, pardon me, to the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. Okay, so that's what basically Exodus was telling us. In Leviticus, we read how the high priest could not, under any circumstances, just enter the Holy of Holies as and when he pleased. He would have died. Doesn't matter if he was the high priest of God or not. If he thought he could just dander in there, he would have died. He could only enter once a year, and he had to be clothed exactly as God commanded. It would be the equivalent of a sinner trying to walk into heaven. It's impossible to do. They would be consumed by the holiness of God. That's why anybody going into heaven has to be robed in a robe of righteousness, but not righteousness of our own. It is the righteousness of God that has been imputed to us through Jesus Christ, who said, "You give me your sin, and I will give you my righteousness." Before entering the Holy of Holies, the high priest had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins and that of the people. And then going in, he would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat to make atonement. And it says this: that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. Now I need you to listen to this again this morning. This is what it says: so Aaron, or the subsequent high priest, so Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. Now, I hope as we read and understand God's word that we realize now the high priest who was called to make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel, he did not go into the Holy of Holies and have to name every individual member of his family, nor did he have to mention all the names of the people of Israel, for them to have their sins covered over and to be forgiven, he basically had to go in there and bring about this at-one-ment with God. He couldn't have named everybody. He couldn't even go into naming his family. That would be impossible. There was, at this point, the first high priest, there was probably 600,000 to a million people in Israel at that time, and there is no way he would have had enough time in one day. I don't know how long it takes these days to count to a million, but he could not name every member of Israel while he was in the Holy of Holies. And there's something really significant about this. So how did this high priest, how did the mediator manage to accomplish this task? Well, firstly, the high priest was chosen by God to represent the people. He was both the ambassador of God because he was appointed and anointed by God, but he was also the ambassador of the people. He was, in that sense, the mediator. Do you remember Jesus? Jesus takes the hand of the Father and then reaches down with his other hand to those who will put their hand into his. He is the mediator. So the high priest, chosen by God as the representative of the people, he was ambassador of God and ambassador of the people. And wearing the God-ordained holy garments, with the names of the tribes of Israel on the shoulders of the ephod, that meant symbolizing, because they were on the shoulders, it meant that he was carrying the burden of Israel and all of the people of Israel. He was carrying the burden, even the burden of all of their sin symbolically. He was carrying it on his shoulders as he walked into the very presence of God. Now you could understand carrying the sin. If he had not made atonement for his own sin, he would have got wiped out. And then when he went in with the names of the tribes of Israel on the shoulders of the ephod, as he walked in, he was carrying the burden of the people before a holy God. And with the names inscribed on the precious stones on the breastplate over his heart, the high priest both represented and presented all of the people of Israel before God. Now, secondly, having followed God's specific instructions about offering the sacrifice for his own sin and then for the sins of the people, he entered into the Holy of Holies and he sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat that made atonement for the people. And in this one act of obedience, the sins of the high priest and all of the assembly of Israel were covered for a year. All covered over. All of that past sin was covered. And he wouldn't be allowed back in for another year. From Hebrews chapter 9, we learn that Jesus, the sinless, eternal, great high priest, having offered himself as the sacrifice, not for his own sin, because Jesus is without sin, having offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins, he entered the holiest place of all. The Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or in the temple was just a shadow or a type of something greater. And Jesus, having offered himself as a sacrifice for sin, he entered into the holiest place of all, into the very presence of God the Father, and he sat down at the Father's right hand, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And I don't believe that Jesus is wearing the high priestly garments, as these were God's ordained types and shadows of something or someone greater to come. So how does Jesus intercede for us? Remember, everything in the Old Testament is just a shadow and a type of something greater to come. So how does Jesus intercede for us? Well, apart from the fact that he is alive and he is seated with the Father, which is intercession enough, Jesus has already bore the burden of his people on his shoulders when he was crucified. Do you understand that Jesus, when he was crucified in that sense, was wearing the ephod, and when all of the sin of the world, when all of the sin of those who have been appointed unto eternal life were laid upon Jesus, he already bore the burden on his shoulders. He who knew no sin became sin for us as our great high priest. Jesus bore the burden of his people on the cross. And having been raised again from the dead, and having passed through the heavens into the holiest place of all, to sit at the Father's right hand, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for his people who have been chosen before the foundation of the world. And he fulfills his intercessory role. How? Because our names are written on his heart. Isn't that incredible when you think about this? From before the foundation of the world, before even any of us were born, before God chose to knit us together in our mother's womb and bring us forth into the light of day, way before all of this, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit sat down and came up with a plan, and it was a wonderful, wonderful plan of salvation, and it involved you. And to be able to fulfill it, Jesus said, yes, I, as the great high priest, I will bear their burden on my shoulders. I will die for them because I love them. And you know what? Write their name now on my heart. Write it there now, because for all eternity I'm going to fulfill everything that I have said for them because I love them. This is beautiful. This is incredible how much Jesus loves us. And when you're thinking, oh, I can't go before God today, I've let God down big time, Jesus is saying, look, it's written on my heart. Your name's there. It's there forever. It's beautiful. In fact, Isaiah says he has our names inscribed on his hands. This is incredible what Jesus has done. Christian, Jesus bore your burden on his shoulders at the cross. And now seated at the Father's right hand, he has your name written on his heart. Jesus is ever living to make intercession for you. Seriously, do you think it's possible to have your name erased from the heart of Jesus? It's impossible. Remember, salvation belongs to God. Therefore, all of this was planned before the foundation of the world. Planned that your name would be inscribed on his heart. You are a chosen child of God. You are loved with an everlasting love. You are also, would he hear this? You are also an ambassador of Christ. And when you, as an ambassador of Christ, and we will get to this somewhere in the next eons when we get down near the bottom of our statement of faith and we're looking at the priesthood of all believers, you will realize that you are an ambassador of Christ, that you are a priest unto God, and you can come in more than the great high priest of the Old Testament. You can come into God's presence anytime you wish because of Jesus. And when you come into that holiest place of all, into God's presence, your loved ones, and that includes even the ones yet not saved, even your loved ones that don't know Jesus yet, because you are coming in with them on your heart, because you're coming in with the burden of them on your soul, you are bringing them into the presence of Almighty God. And do you seriously think that God's not going to take notice? You are bringing them in before God as a holy priest. Those you're burdened for, who are on your heart, you've represented them before God. May God, Christian, may God search your heart, lift your burden, and save your loved ones, just as he saved you through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, Christian, remember, your name is written on His heart. Maybe this morning there's someone here, someone watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me tell you, God's word declares that all people are sinners. All have sinned, including you, and fall short of the glory of God. God's word also says that the wages, the price of that sin, doesn't matter if it's one sin or a million sins, the price of that sin is death. All sinners, doesn't matter how nice you think you are, doesn't matter how good you think you are, all sinners deserve to die and to be cast from God's presence forever. And the Bible calls that hell. But thanks be to God, His word also teaches Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die in our place so that we wouldn't have to. Those who confess their sin, those who accept what God's saying, that they're sinners, and accept that, those who confess their sin, who repent, who turn around and turn away from their sin and trust in Jesus, will receive forgiveness of sins and have everlasting life. That's the promise of God for you today. And the fact that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, is the guarantee that you, if you do what God says, confess your sins, repent, and trust in Jesus, Jesus is the guarantee you will receive His promise the moment you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. God has provided and offers salvation to you today through faith in Jesus. What will you do? What will you do with Jesus, who has demonstrated so beautifully how much He loves you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this series, Lord, on the high priestly role of Jesus. Lord, we haven't even got the King yet, and we're excited about the Word of God. Thank You, Jesus, that You are seated at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, for those who know You and who love You. How beautiful it is to know today that our names are inscribed on Your heart. Jesus, thank You for loving us in the way that You do. Father, thank You for Jesus, Your Son. Holy Spirit, thank You for revealing this wonderful truth to us. May we all, Lord God, yield our lives to You and truly say, Jesus, I belong to You and I want to live for Your glory. We thank You, Jesus, for Your wonderful sacrifice on our behalf. Amen.